And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we've got so much for you today. I'll tell you, every few months or so, I like to do a volume entitled Churches and Pastors Gone Wild. Churches and Pastors Gone Wild. Well, today is going to be volume 6 of this continuing series. It seems that I have so much material, I'll never run out of, you know, messages, Jerry. Jerry's over here, our broadcast engineer. I don't think I'm going to run out of material. It just keeps piling up. Reports keep coming in. I call them the demented apostates because they claim to be Christian. Some actually give themselves titles. You know, of course, the Catholic cardinals and the popes and the monsignors and all that. But, you know, there's a lot of Protestants. Well, they're not even, they don't even call themselves Protestants. They're not protesting anything. They're just part of the world heretic movement. I call it. Hey, that'd be a good title for it. World Heretic Movement, WHM, given an acronym. They're in top form now, Jerry. And folks, now, I'll tell you, I was looking for a Bible passage to fully describe these kind of people today. I finally found it in Isaiah chapter 5. Oh, what a great prophet he was. And he pretty well told it like it is, didn't he? He and Jeremiah and the others, boy, if I could just be 1% of what these guys were, I'd be happy forever. Well, maybe God's going to give me just a little bit of anointing today to talk about these things. You see, the demented apostates, as I call them, are in top form. And that's why hell is being enlarged to accommodate them. Now, a lot of folks don't believe there's a hell. Well, I don't know where you get that, but the book of Revelation, it says this, that fire and brimstone will be their lot, and it uses the phrase forever and ever. Somebody tried to argue with me several years back, and they said, well, Tex, forever and ever is a period of time. And I said, forever and ever you'll burn in hell if you're an enemy of God. And they said, yeah, but that's for just a given period of time. The Bible says forever and ever, dear friend. You better believe the Bible and forget whoever told you that. Now, I know there are, you know, famous teachers from way back, you know, 100 years ago that told these various denominational groups these kinds of things. And they still are there today. In fact, I'm going to tell you about a few of them this very program. But the fact is, the Bible says there is a hell. I want to read to you Isaiah 5:13. Isaiah said, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge and their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. Folks, the word of God will slate your thirst. It will. I mean, see, the Bible uses terms, you know, so that you understand a dry, parched mouth means a person who has got no knowledge. He's famished. He's thirsting, or she's thirsting. They're dried up with thirst, the multitude. That's what's the problem today, because churches and pastors have gone wild and are heretics and demented and insane. And they're apostates, reprobates even. They have been taken captive. A lot of folks don't think you can be taken captive. But believe me, those possessed by the devil are captives. They're bond servants of whoever they serve. If you serve the devil, you'll be his servant. You'll be his slave. And folks, he's got chains and locks that are almost impossible for you to break out of. Only the word of God can break the bond chains, that hold you back. Even supposedly honorable men are famished. And here's what, it says, verse 14 says, therefore, okay, leads right from that. People don't have knowledge. They're in captivity. Satan is their controller. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory, that's these people that think they're so smart. They're smarter than God. You know, it's like in the Jewish Talmud, the most holy book of the Jews. The Jewish rabbis say they're so wise that God comes to the chief rabbis for advice and counsel. God comes to them for counsel. They're like gods, the Jewish rabbis. That's what they say. And think about it, in the Catholic Church, and I mean, I wouldn't dare to wear some fancy robe with colored vestments and all that kind of junk. You know, I'm a big parrot, bird, or a peacock in my glory and my pomp. Man, I'd be embarrassed to go before God or God's people and say, look at me as I preen about in my peacock clothing, my vestments and robes and my, you know, my hats and all of these. Come on. You might be better off, my friends, to go like the Old Testament people did in sackcloth and ashes in humility to God and say, Lord, I don't have any fine clothing that's worthy of going before you. There's nothing I have that's considered finery in heaven in any case. But think about that. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself. It's getting bigger. Opened her mouth. The gates are wide open there in hell. I mean, Jesus' kingdom, narrow is the way. And there's just a little gate there. You have to find your way. How do you find your way? You hear the voice of the shepherd. But others don't hear that voice at all. They say, oh, you must be mistaken. You're hearing something? Yes, you say, I hear the word of God speaking to me. I don't hear a thing, they say. They don't hear the shepherd as he calls the sheep to come in that narrow way gate. Wide is the path to destruction. And these people are prideful. They glory in themselves and they have this pomp. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. They rejoice in their evil works. Look at the homosexual community today. You know, I wish they were not. I don't want to out a homosexual, because once he's been outed, he can't keep his mouth shut. He's bragging about it all the time. They're proud of it, of their sin, of their degradation. Verse 15 says, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humble, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humble. Wow. Wow. Friends, listen to me. There is a hell. It's being enlarged all the time. I don't know what God's building there. I hear that he's having the devil build for his fallen people. I don't know, they're condos or prison cells or just what. But I don't want to go there and find out. I want to talk to you today about some of the people, these demented apostates and disciples of the devil who claim to be Christian, many of them even having large churches, and they call themselves pastors or reverend or bishop or whatever. And they have no idea that hell has opened wide its mouth to receive them. Maybe they'll listen to this radio program. Maybe you'll be kind enough to order an extra copy of this tape or CD today and send to them. But usually when I do people like that, send them a tape or CD of my program, they just get angry at me. They write me a vile and vicious letter and threaten me and all kinds of, call me a liar and say that I'm just a mean, mean man. I've heard that over the years. I'm just a mean, mean man, Tex Mars. And I don't consider myself mean. I look in the mirror. I smile a lot. My wife Wanda loves me. I think she does. She says she does. And I believe her. She's an honest lady. Even my mother, she's pretty saintly. She's, let's see, I think she's going to have her 94th birthday. Or is it 95th? I was way up there. I think she still loves me. Yeah, I call her all the time. She's so happy to hear me. I'm going to go up for her birthday party, I guess you might say, in about another week here, in fact, in Lumberton, Texas, the little town of Lumberton, Texas, where she lives. My dad, of course, is going to be with the Lord a long time ago. But I suspect my mother loves me. Jerry, I got my mother, my wife, my grandkids. They hug their papa's neck. They seem to love me a lot. I love them too. So, yeah, I got a good thing. Jesus loves me. I know that for a fact. That is perfect, isn't it? Jerry's over there saying perfect. He's absolutely right. Well, let's get right into these people that are just, I mean, they're just too much. I've never seen anything like these people. Here's one man I actually feel very sorry for. The Christian artist, Thomas Kincaid. He used color and light in such a way that his paintings were so, so very beautiful. He did one called Prayer for Peace. Have you ever heard of Thomas Kincaid? He's probably the most famous Christian, so-called, artist of our lifetime. He said he was a Christian. In public, he never did anything that would cause you not to believe it. But he died recently. Come to find out, you know, sometimes, friends, your sins follow behind you. Right behind you. Very close. And it's a shame what we found out about Thomas Kincaid. He died of too much booze, too much alcohol. He died a drunk. He drank himself to death, it looks like. Isn't that sad? His girlfriend found him dead. I say his girlfriend because it was his mistress. You know, wasn't living with his wife. It's a very disturbing picture. The girlfriend, Amy, told the dispatchers that Kincaid had been drinking, 911 dispatchers, that is. Apparently, he had been drinking all night and it killed him. And not only that, but even this girlfriend, she'd called 911. They knew her because she'd called a number of times because of what a neighbor called nasty fights between them. So he didn't get along with his wife. Filed for legal separation, moved in with his mistress. Then he didn't get along with her either. Drunks don't get along with many people. He was known as the painter of light, but seems that his life was quite dark. You know, a lot of times, folks, we find after a man or woman goes on to their reward, whatever it is, we find out what kind of person they really were. I pray people won't say anything bad about me. If they do, I can tell you right now, it won't be because I drank myself to death. I don't take drugs. I've never smoked marijuana. I had horrible, horrible pain problems in my back, my sciatic nerves. I had shingles. I had gout. I had all kinds of things going on in my body. The doctor looked at it on x-ray and he said, boy, you need some pain medication. He gave me a prescription for it. I never took it. He said, here, I want to give you an address and a phone number and go down to this pain clinic. I'd heard about those. They're all over America now, these pain clinics, so-called. What they really do is turn you on to drugs. You start taking Vicodin and, I don't know, all these Oxycontin, and pretty soon they've got you hooked. I just decided to tough it out. So Wanda will tell you, I'm glad we live sort of like in the country, and there's no real homes right by us. Oh, I guess about 100 yards down the road, there's the closest home. Oh, was it 50 yards, Jerry? Maybe 50. Yeah, I'm probably, you know, I'm not good at distances. You're a football ref. You're supposed to know this. Okay. Yeah, he knows by the inches, boy, I tell you. Those football refs are by the football. You know, every little centimeter there, yeah. Well, I'm glad we didn't live right next door to somebody because that heard me screaming many times. Just trying to get out of bed, just trying to move. I would scream for many months. It was pretty horrible. But I never took any of that pain medication. I took some Tylenol for a while and I broke out in rashes from taking that. So I quit that. And I'm not knocking people who take pain medication, by the way. It's just that I had to ask God to give me a special dispensation there to get me through that horrible period. I was just determined I'm not going to do that. And, you know, everybody gets a little depressed sometimes, getting a bad mood. I really don't really get depressed very much. If so, it just lasts, seems like, for a few minutes. I'm amazed at how happy a person I really am because I have Jesus in my heart. But I would never take any depression-type drugs. I think that you just turn into a pill box. They'll ruin you. They'll destroy. They've destroyed thousands of people's lives. I don't take those things. No, I just don't do it. And back in my younger days, I drank a little bit of beer, you know, here and there. And, you know, God just took that from me, too. In fact, I drink one beer, I'd get sick as a dog. I learned that many years ago, so I don't drink one beer. And, you know, I'm thankful to God. He knew what was best. I said, well, God, I'm going to drink this. You know, it's not going to hurt anything, a beer and watching a football game or something, trying to relax a little bit. And I think God said, no, you're not. I'll make you sick. And he did. Good for God. He knew better. Well, in any case, Thomas Kincaid has gone on to his reward. Now I understand that his mistress and his wife, they're fighting over the millions of dollars he left behind in his estate and all that. It's very, very tragic. Well, here's another person that's tragic, Billy Graham. I'm reading an old news release. Way back in 1979, many people never knew this because they covered it up, the Billy Graham Crusade organization. It says, on his trip to Poland in 1979, Billy Graham stood in front of the shrine of the Black Madonna in Czechoslovakia and greeted the Catholic worshipers who were there to venerate Rome's false Mary as Queen of Heaven. In fact, they published a picture of Billy Graham in his Decision magazine, standing there with a Catholic priest welcoming the people of the church. And I think the people that read that Decision magazine, Billy Graham's organization's publication, thought he was there to witness to the people about Jesus. But that wasn't true. He was there to tell them that the Catholic Church was all right. He visited that Mary shrine, and he did not, and I know this for a fact, I have the reports on it, even the newspapers, he did not tell the Catholic people that the Roman Catholic gospel is false. He did tell them that the Catholic priest and the Pope are fellow believers. So that's what Billy Graham was. He was a big pro-Catholic, pro-papacy guy. And I think we're going to find out some more after he goes on to be with I don't know who he's going with, but. Meanwhile, did you know the Vatican is having a lot of trouble with its nuns? And guess what? There's only about one-third in the United States, one-third the nuns there were back in the 1950s. Most of them have left. But the ones that stayed behind are now being called outlaws. They're feminist. They say that up to 90% of all the nuns are lesbians. And they're not refraining from sex either as lesbians. Number of books have been written by former nuns talking about all the sex that's going on and the orgies happen. These feminist nuns are angry toward men. They don't even want to do what the Pope and the bishops and the priests tell them to do anymore. They're pro-abortion too, by the way. Now the Catholic Church, the Vatican, says it's going to try to rein them in. Yeah, well, good luck. I don't think you're going to rein in these outlaw lesbian nuns there, Pope Benedict. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's amazing, isn't it? Meanwhile, Rick Warren, you know, the America's pastor from Saddleback Community Church, Purpose-Driven Life and all those books that he wrote that were big bestsellers, has a health guru now, and he's been promoting it. But the problem is that Warren's been trying to help his church members to have good health. So they have all these books they've been offering in a program called the Daniel Plan. Now, the problem is that many of the books and the people that Rick Warren are recommending, they're not too wholesome. For example, one of the people that's recommended for the folks to read has a book out called The Brain in Love that promotes Hindu tantric sex. That's holy sex, like they do in the temples back in India. You go there and you pay the priestess and you have sex and you come out and, you know, you're, I don't know what you've got from it, but that's what yoga really means, to be yoked with a priestess. Isn't that something? See, all these people get involved in the yoga and think it's just exercise, but every movement they're doing is a symbol of Satan and of the Hindu religion. So folks, you go to a yoga place. I like this yoga. It's just good for me to move my body. There's nothing wrong with moving your body. I think movement is good. It's just that you don't want to contort it and put it in all of these Hindu symbols. You're actually inviting in demonic gods by doing Hindu yoga. You didn't know that. A lot of people don't even know it's of the Hindu faith. I don't know why, though. You know, I went in an exercise clinic one day to pick up my granddaughter, and I was shocked, and they were going, all that music, you know, all the sitar, you know, the Hindus, all that music was in there, and I saw them with all the stuff on the wall, and I told her mom and dad, I said, you know, that's not good. That's just nothing but Hindu, you know, evil. And they went, really? Yes, really, you know. Do some research of your own. I told them. I don't know if they really like their grandpa telling that, but that's the way it goes. I did my job, and I still do. Okay. They combine yogic medication with sex in the Hindu religion. And evidently, that's really, you know, I'm not saying that Rick Warren is personally promoting that, but indirectly he is for his people. And they teach the people how to receive kundalini, which is serpent power. Now, that sounds really good for Christians, doesn't it? Jerry, would you like to learn how to do some serpent power? Kundalini, the cobra serpent energy going up your spine till you have this divine consciousness radiation in your brain. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Now, Kundalini is a Hindu concept saying that there's this psychic serpent energy at the base of the spine, and you can awaken to divine consciousness. Yeah, you can awaken, all right, to possession by the devil. Meanwhile, talking about devils, see how I go right into things? Nice transition. I got this letter from the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And it's written by a very popular rabbi. He's popular among Christians. His name is Rabbi Yekiel. I call him Yucky. Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein. Now, he's president of this International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Now, folks, anytime you see a name like this, you know there's a problem. You see, Jesus broke down the partition. So you really shouldn't have a group called Christians and Jews. You're either a Christian or you're something else. So there's no way you can be Christian and then the Jewish thing separate. And of course, this man is actually a rabbi who's trying to get money from Christians, and he's gotten millions so far. Now, evidently, because I'm pastor here at Power of Prophecy in Bible Home Church, he sent me my 2012 membership card. Now, I didn't ask for it. I guess he just thought if he made me a member unsolicited, you know, like many other churches and pastors, I'd start sending him money because I believe in Zionism or something. I have no idea. I guess somebody sent my name, said Tex needs to be a Zionist. Send him your membership card. He says, I have identified you and your church as valued partners with me in the fellowship. I don't think so, Rabbi. In fact, I don't even call you Rabbi because Jesus says call no man Rabbi. So I'm not going to do that either. Well, and then, of course, he asked for money. Yes, he said his heart is breaking for all the Jews that need to return through what they call Aliyah, or resettlement to Israel. Their goal is to get more and more Jews to come to Israel, but they never try to get the American Jews. See, I like that. Barbara Streisand, Ben Affleck, What other Jews could we send? The chairman of the president and chairman of Goldman Sachs Bank, Lloyd Blankfein, Ben Bernanke? We could send him, of course. How about all those gals on that show that I just flashed by? I can't even stand to even see it for a fleeting moment while I'm changing channels. Sex and the City or something? All those are Jews, probably. Every one of them. And there's Jerry Seinfeld. There's that filthy mouth Sarah Silverman. All those people. And that Lieberman, Senator Lieberman. We could ship that guy. If God wants all these Jews to go to Israel, then why don't they go? In fact, what is Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein doing? Let's see, he's from Chicago, Illinois. He's writing me from Chicago. Why isn't he writing me from Tel Aviv? See, that's the fakery of these people. Unbelievable. Well, according to the London Telegraph newspaper, the Church of England is aging. It's too conservative. No, that's not the reason. It's because nobody believes in it anymore. Because they say, as one man wrote to me and said, there's more homosexual pastors and reverends inside the Church of England than there is outside of it. He said, why do I want to go to the Church of England, you know, the Anglican Church, just to hear a homosexual preaching how wonderful his lifestyle is? Boy, now that's a testimony, isn't it? In any case, the average age of the members of the Church of England is 61. And there's just a crisis going on. It's dying off. Wow. Meanwhile, here in the United States, some of the places seem to be growing a little bit. In Oshkosh, Wisconsin, they had their annual rock and roll, Christian rock and roll festival. Well-known evangelical speaker Greg Laurie, some 20,000 people gathered to hear Christian rock groups. Now, here's some of the names of them. Hawk Nelson, Skillet, Toby Mac, Mercy Me, Super Chick, Newsboys, The Cutlass. Oh, yeah. We want to get all the flavors of the church, said the leader of the group, Bob Lenz. All the flavors of the church. Yeah, like Baskin Robbins. That's what the church needs, a lot of flavors. Of course, a Catholic Mass was said, and ecumenical, my goodness gracious. Campus Crusade has changed its name. They've taken the word crusade out. They said it offends Muslims. They don't want anybody to hear the word crusade. You know, they don't want you to think they're warriors for Christ, or that they're, you know, Well, in any case, when we come back, I have some stories you will not believe. Mr. 666 is here. Mr. 666. He lives in Toronto, Canada. But he bounces around the United States as well. He may come to your area soon. His number is 666. He's putting up billboards. Then there's the woman that says communion by Jesus in the story of the Last Supper meant that she should hand out condoms. Somehow, handing out condoms for safe sex translates to communion. And she calls herself a pastor. She's a pastor who hands out condoms by gobs of them to her church congregation. And she says that's part of the Eucharist, part of communion. Wow. Hell is being enlarged every day to accommodate more and more of these churches and pastors gone wild. This is Tex Mar. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Have a lot more for you when we return. Tex Moore's back again. Folks, I'm so glad you're with us today, listening to this program. It's just, it is so wonderful for us to be on, well, I call it the team. We're part of a team. I like to envision that you and I are working in the vineyard of Jesus Christ. And what a lovely vineyard it is. Oh, my goodness. And we're here to bring in as much fruit as we can, witnessing for Jesus about what he's done in our life. You know, we've been on the radio for many, many years, over like a quarter of a century. And some of you are so kind as to send us love gifts and donations so that we can continue this radio program, continue our work in the vineyard of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the most important radio stations we're on is Worldwide Christian Radio out of Nashville, Tennessee, WWCR. It's a shortwave radio station. And through WWCR, people all over this globe are listening to my voice today. So really, this is an outreach. It's a missionary outreach. And we hear from folks in Kenya, in Uganda. We get letters from Romania, from the Ukraine, from Brazil. Pastors even write us and ask us for Bibles and such. We're glad to do that. From Nigeria to, Philippines, Indonesia. Recently got a wonderful letter from a pastor in Indonesia. So all over the world, people are getting this message. They're being emboldened to stand for truth, to fight for liberty and justice, but also to do it in a Christian way. And I appreciate what you've been doing. Now, we got a phone call from WWCR. Now, again, they broadcast all over the world shortwave radio, because shortwave radio can be heard in 170 nations across this planet. And we got a phone call from the manager at WWCR, and he said someone who wished to be anonymous had donated $1,500 to help pay the expenses of Power of Prophecy. And the manager said that this person did not wish to be identified. They wish to give anonymously. And that's just fine with us. And we want to thank them. $1,500. So whoever gave that, God bless you. And I hope that God will richly reward you in all kinds of ways that you never even expected for your goodness. Now, I know that not everyone can give $1,500, but maybe you can give $15 or $100 or $20 or $5 or $2. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. And if you'd like to give through WWCR, that's one way to help this ministry. Then it goes direct to the radio station. When you do, make sure that you let them know that it's for Tex Mars and Power Prophecy. And they are good and faithful to us. And they will phone us and let us know that they got the money in. And they apply it against our bill. They give us a credit. So that saves us money. And goodness gracious, as you know, our expenses keep going up. The postage, the shipping, everything keeps going up. I mean, even our books, the paper costs are just tremendous right now. You wouldn't think that we were in a time of recession and joblessness, but my goodness, it's just a terrible thing. So many ministries have been shut down. Even many faithful churches have been shut down because they couldn't afford to pay their bills. But thanks to you, we continue right on. And we're going to be right here until God lifts us off this earth and takes us to heaven with him. I'm looking forward to that day. So again, if you'd like to give through WWCR directly to the radio station, let me give you their phone number in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd write this down, and you can phone them and they'll tell you how to send them the money, their address and all, and you can send the money to them and ask them to credit it to Power Prophecy and Tex Mars. Their address is phone number. Just call them and get their address and ask them how to address the check or money order or whatever, or cash that you send. It's 615-255-1300. That's 615-255-1300 for WWCR Christian Radio out of Nashville, Tennessee. Now, of course, if you'd like to help defray our radio expenses, you can also send a love gift, a donation, your tithes and offerings to Power of Prophecy directly, right here in our ministry headquarters in Austin, Texas. Our address is Power of Prophecy, or write to just simply text Mars, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And say, text, put this in your radio fund, and we'll use it to pay our radio bill. Of course, we're on the internet. We have 24/7 capability there on the internet at powerofprophecy.com. We also have BibleHomeChurch.org. And, of course, let's see, what else do we have, Joe? We're on American Voice Network. We're on WINB, Shortwave Network. Probably WWCR is the most popular place that we're on, and it's being heard around the world from WWCR, as well as the internet. Thousands of people listen every week on the internet. I suspect we have one of the most popular radio programs on the internet in the Patriot community, the Liberty community, and the Jesus community. That's the most important of all. All right. Our phone number here, if you'd like to give and just use your charge card, you can give a donation. You can order the tape of today's program for $8, add $5 shipping and handling. Ask for a catalog. If you don't have a catalog, we'll send you a catalog. We'll send you a sample copy of our newsletter, Power of Prophecy, free of charge. Our phone number is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673. To write us and ask for that, just write us at Power Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the United States of America. Let's return to our regular program. We're looking at Churches and Pastors Gone Wild, Volume 6. The demented apostates are in top form, and hell is being enlarged to accommodate them. Well, seems that there's a pastor of a church called the City Church in Kirkland, Washington, that's written a book. Judah Smith is his name. The name is, well, get this, Jesus is Bringing Sexy Back. I think that's the name of the book. Or is it his messages? I can't even remember. But anyway, Pastor Judah Smith of the City Church in Kirkland, Washington, the state of Washington, is preaching on Jesus is bringing sexy back. He says Jesus is sexy. And he says this, he says, quote, "We worship the sexiest being on the planet." Folks, God is not sexy. Yes, he created sex for his creatures, but he himself is not sexy. Please, don't degrade our Lord and Savior by calling him such a filthy term. Somebody wrote me recently, and they didn't like my program very much here on Power of Prophecy, thought I was too conservative, I was too traditional, too old-fashioned. And they said, you know, Tex, you're just a mean, evil person because, you know, you're so strict and old-fashioned. And they said, but don't worry, I'll pray to my daddy in heaven for you. Pray to what? Your daddy in heaven? It was a woman, by the way. She'll pray to my daddy in heaven. Folks, that is degrading to God. Don't call him your daddy. He's our father in heaven. He's not your daddy. And Mary's not your mama, by the way. You know, they have no respect. There's no sanctity. There's no majesty. God is majesty. God is holy. Don't insult God. I'll tell you, it breaks my heart. People would insult God. Well, you want to know an insult? I know an insult when I see him. And let me tell you something. This is an insult I want to tell you about. A woman pastor, and she thinks it's very important for her church members to receive condoms to be distributed. Single people, married people. I'm not sure it really matters to her. And she says, this woman, that this is part of the Lord's Supper. She says, when Jesus says, "This is my body given for you," Well, when you use a condom and you have sex, you're really saying to your sex partner, this is my body given for you. Condoms? Jesus gave himself on the cross for us. When we take communion, that memorializes what Jesus did. His blood was shed for us. But condoms and sex has nothing to do with Jesus on the cross. Sacrilegious. Now I'm talking about Pastor Andrina Ingram, I-N-G-R-A-M. She's the pastor at St. Michael's Lutheran Church in Philadelphia, and she's a graduate of the Lutheran Theological Seminary. I suspect that's the ELCA denomination, Evangelical Lutheran Christian or Church in America. They're quite liberal, and they have these women pastors. And she says that, quote, I'm gonna read her stuff here. It says, it may sound sacrilegious to equate condoms with Jesus' words, but think about it. When you're about to engage in a sexual union with another person these days, aren't you giving up your body? And for those of you, says Pastor Ingram, who partake of the feast of the body in non-committed relationships, meaning you're not married or anything else, my prayer is that you use a condom each and every time. She goes on to say that she put a big bowl of condoms out for her church members, and she was so surprised she had to fill up the bowl four times in one service. They just kept coming up and grabbing all these condoms. And she was very happy to see it, refilling up her bowl. And she did a little ritual, a little sacramental ritual with it. She said the words, this is my body given for you. This is a condom given for you. Use it. Protect yourself. Protect your partner. She got a letter from another Lutheran pastor, the Reverend Canaan Doctor. Boy, they love to call themselves big names. Reverend Canaan Doctor Gideon Bayamugishi. Oh, boy. Who told her, what a wonderful job. We salute you, said the Reverend Canaan Dr. Gideon Bayigashi, or whatever it is, you know, who cares? My goodness. Oh, my. Can you believe this? In Philadelphia, a Lutheran church giving out condoms and says it's part of communion? Well, listen, we go from there. A Texas-based pastor also has a Florida branch of his church, or whatever you want to call it. And he has hundreds of followers in Florida, especially in Toronto, is putting up billboards in cities. And the billboards have a picture of him doing a hand symbol. And I know it's a symbol of 666 to his head. Get my book, Codex Magica, and you'll understand what that is all about. And the billboard reads 666, number of wisdom. Now we know it's the number of the beast, Revelation 13, but this nut, or whatever you want to call him, Pastor Jose de Luis de Jesus, calls himself Pastor Jesus. He said he's the reincarnation of Jesus. And his number, says Pastor Jose de Luis de Jesus, is 666. That's my number, he says. And it's a number of wisdom. And he says there's coming a day before the end of 2012 in which he will be elevated to Messiah of planet Earth. And hundreds of people believe in him. And guess what? They're all bopping down to tattoo parlors and taking a tattoo 666 in their hands. Wow. In their hands, they're taking the number 666. And they think this is a holy number of wisdom. I have pictures. I actually have pictures. A young girl has received the number 666 on her hand in a tattoo. And she's also had another tattoo of 666 inscribed on her back. Beautiful young girl in the picture from Ontario in Canada. Now, a woman named Doris Rosado brought her children to be tattooed, her teenage daughters, Ninette and Kiera. They got the number 666 tattooed on their wrist, and she was just beaming with pride, according to this article I'm reading here in the National Post publication. They went down to St. Catherine's Tattoo Parlor and got inked, I guess you could call it, tattooed. Now, Miss Rosado says the number is not the number of the Antichrist, but of the Messiah, the Christ. And it's her pastor who has all of these hundreds and hundreds of members around the world, especially in the United States and Canada. Mr. De Jesus, our pastor. She says, today, Pastor Jose De Luis De Jesus is but a human being. But very soon he will be elevated. He will be transformed. His flesh will be immortal. And all of his followers, as far as everybody else, they will be destroyed. So get that, folks. Mr. 666 is here. Hundreds of his people are taking tattoos, 666, in their hands. And if you don't go along with this, you're going to be destroyed. That's what they say. Now, De Jesus organization or church, whatever he calls it, is called, get this now, Growing in Grace International. Growing in Grace International. And by the way, the pastor, whose number is 666, and he himself has tattooed it on his body, is getting quite a bit of money from his followers, these gullible people. He they lovingly call him Dad. Yeah, we get back to the daddy. Remember Jim Jones of the People's Temple? Over 900 people were slaughtered down in Guyana, the People's Temple there, down in South America. They call him Daddy too, you know. Daddy Jim. Well, now Daddy Jose is being showered with gifts, with money. And why shouldn't we give our money to him? Because the body of Christ is manifesting in Jose de Luis de Jesus, or his followers say. Boy, are they not brainwashed? Getting their own children tattooed. And by the way, he has a new revelation for people. The Bible is wrong. The Bible is in error, he says. It was written by good people, but they were mistaken. It's not God's word. He has God's word. Pastor Jesus, the new Messiah. And his new revelation is this, there is no sin. Do whatever you want, there is no sin. Meanwhile, folks, there's another pastor, a woman pastor. She's out of Denver, Colorado. Her name is Nadia Bolz Weber, Bolz-Weber. It's like two names put together. Nadia Bolz Weber. Have the picture of her. Her body is full of tattoos. One looks like a dragon serpent. And she has another big tattoo of Mary Magdalene. Not Mother Mary, but Mary Magdalene. Whom I guess the people that like Nadia, Pastor Nadia Bolz Weber, would say is the holy whore. She's part of the new emerging church movement. Now, folks, I've warned you about the emerging church. Well, now, we have this Reverend Nadia Bolz Weber, and she's head of this big growing church called the House for All Sinners and Saints. Get that? Sort of like, you know, Jesus there says there is no sin. Well, Nadia Bolz Weber has started this church, and it's just booming. She's connected with a guy named Jim Wallace of a group, a Masonic group called the Sojourners. Quite interesting. She's been ordained by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA. They say that when she gets up there at the pulpit, and many people believe she's a lesbian, that doesn't bother her, though, because she says our church is queer inclusive. That's her words. We are gay affirming. We're made up of gays, sinners, saints. All the people come to our church, she says. She looks like a lesbian motorcycle biker. Unbelievable. You got to see this. She wears jeans and a collar, you know, around her neck to look like a pastor. Looks like something out of hell. She calls herself an outlaw preacher. She says the times are changing. Even Judas was misunderstood, she says. There is no eternal hell, and God will do for Judas in the next life what he didn't get in this life. And all people will eventually be saved by a loving God. So she says then, I suppose, that Isaiah the prophet was wrong when he said hell is being enlarged, its mouth open wide. No, everybody's going to be saved. Nobody's going to hell. She believes in a loving God. My goodness. Even Judas is going to not go to hell. In fact, it seems like he got a raw deal. People just didn't understand him. Meanwhile, I'm looking at her website, this Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber. By the way, she's very popular in Denver. And I understand she's got this, now she's on national radio and she's just humming along. Well, a vicar who is dean of the University School of Hospitality to Pastoral Ministry. And he's also vicar. That means, I guess, like there's another big name. They like to give themselves titles. He's vicar or pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church in Nashua, New Hampshire. He wrote her a letter and she put it on her website congratulating her for her sermon on Judas, for correcting the Bible, you know. He said, your great sermon helped me to reflect on scapegoats, forgiveness, revenge, and the messiness of community. Thanks. Keep preaching the damn gospel. I read this. I said, did I read that right? Well, of course I read it right. This guy who is dean of some seminary and vicar or pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church in Nashua congratulates the Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber for her sermon on Judas, saying that Judas is not going to hell. Nobody's going. He was misunderstood. Keep preaching the damn gospel. Goodness. They have no reverence. They hold nothing sacred. They defy the majesty of God. They make fun. They mock our Lord in heaven. Oh my. They're going to split hell wide open. Then I'm reading the London Independent newspaper. And a woman named Mary Ann Sieghart, S-I-E-G-H-R-T, writes about the Church of England. And we talked about it earlier on this program. She thanks God, but although she doesn't necessarily believe in God, that the Church of England is not one of those mean, old, cruel, fundamentalist churches. She said a Christian really means I try to be a good person. So if you try to be a good person, you know, yeah, that's okay. You're eligible for all the wonderful things that are going to happen. She says people cannot be good, of course, but just to try to be good is enough. And then she says, as far as the evangelical church, the Church of England, as she puts it, she says, I like all the changes. And she said, you know what? You don't even have to believe in God to cherish the church. It's just a place of tradition. People go there because they're used to going to church. Their family went, their grandparents went. It's part of tradition. You know, there's a church on the corner with a steeple. You go there, not necessarily to worship God. You don't even have to believe in God. Just go there and cherish it because of its tradition. And you'll find a lot of people that are good or try to be good there, probably. But that doesn't matter. You don't have to believe in God to cherish the church. In other words, you can be a big hypocrite, but she doesn't say that. My goodness. Whatever happened to the cross? You know, I visited a church here in Austin. And I noticed they didn't have a cross in the church. I asked why. It's a big church called Riverbend. It has like 5,000 members. Pastor that founded it used to call himself Baptist, but he said, I took off the Baptist thing. I'm not a Baptist. Okay. Like, that's plain. They serve cocktails, you know, alcohol at their deacons' meetings and all that kind of stuff. Church says it doesn't have a cross because it doesn't want to offend people. That's what the man told me when I asked him. We don't like to offend people. There may be people who are offended by the cross. Really? Really? Well, the Apostle Paul said something in 1 Corinthians. He said, the cross is unto us which are saved the power of God. Did you get that? The cross is to those who are saved the power of God. I was reading recently that most purpose-driven churches connected to Rick Warren have taken down and removed the cross. You see, they don't want to remember the cross. They believe that's not part of their purpose, I suppose, because he's the one that wrote the books, The Purpose-Driven Life, The Purpose-Driven Church. They don't want to recognize a crucified and risen Savior is needed for our salvation. Now, Rick Warren, who boasts that he has trained some 6,000 pastors, but as one friend of mine told me, trained to do what? Remove the cross of Jesus? Deny the power of the gospel? In his book, on page 112 of A Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren says that the cross is offensive to people of other religions. That's why he's removing it. He says the cross is not what the church is all about. He says the only symbols in the purpose-driven church are concentric circles and a baseball diamond. A diamond and a circle. Or circles, plural. That's the only symbol he says should be used in churches. The diamond and the circles. You know, actually, pagans, occultists, Satanists use the diamond. And they use the circles. Interesting, isn't it? Rick Warren. No cross, use circles, and a baseball diamond. Isn't that strange? Well, finally, I leave you with another symbol. Seems that children at Grace United Methodist Church in LaSalle, Illinois, had a big party this year in which they celebrated the Year of the Ox. That's a Chinese New Year celebration. And children were happy that a big dragon appeared, a big red dragon appeared to celebrate the Chinese New Year, and they all frolicked along with the dragon. And what does the book of Revelation say? That old serpent, the dragon, Satan. Now they're bringing the dragon into the church, and the children are partying with it. At least they are at Grace United Methodist Church. Whatever happened to the wisdom? Good friends, God is right. Isaiah said it. Hell is being enlarged. There's more and more people entering therein. They're dying to get in. That's the problem. Remember this, my friends. Jesus will give you life and life eternal. This is Tex Mars. We've had another one in our series. It's volume 6 of Churches and Pastors Gone Wild. Of course, you're listening to Power of Prophecy, and my fervent prayer is that you, my dear friends and fellow servants, along with so many others listening to this program, that you will tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.